Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired, and we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. My subject is my strategy for defeating the devil. This is just my strategy. I suppose everybody's got their own. Unfortunately, I think some people don't even know they're in a battle, so they don't have a strategy. If you don't have a strategy, I can tell you right now, you're losing a lot of good things, because the devil will come in and take what you let him have. If you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. But I've got a strategy for defeating the devil. You may be seated. In the words of the text, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Two key words in this text. Number one, like. It said he goeth about like a lion. He's not a lion. It's a poor facsimile. He's not a lion. He's just acting like a lion. The devil is a liar. He is a deceiver, and he is an imposter. He's not much. And the second key word of the text is may. May is adverse to can. Can means you have the ability. May is you're seeking permission. Did you know that when Jesus Christ came on a man that had 6,000 devils, that he cast them out and they literally sought permission to go into the swine. Into the swine they went and the swine were drowned. They had to seek permission. And friend, I'm going to tell you what, the devil is seeking permission every day to devour. He's seeking every day to steal. He's seeking permission every day to be a factor in your life. But if you will develop a strategy, you can overcome the devil every day of your life. How do we resist the devil? The Bible said, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do we resist the devil to the place that he goes from an aggressor to a fleeing, running away, defeated foe? The Bible gives us explicit instructions. I know the Bible teaches us that when the adversary comes in like a flood, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against him. I know the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is our ultimate protector. The text, however, in fact, the entire Bible declares we must be proactive, vigilant, aggressive in our confrontation of the evil one. There's no question that the devil has been defeated by Christ on the cross and his resurrection. But the devil's like a man that has been found guilty, has been sentenced, but somehow he eased away and escaped, and he's still running to and fro. But friend, we can develop a strategy where we have victory over the devil every day. Number one, we need to reassess the power of the devil. I hear people talking about the devil like he's God, like he's almighty. You know, the things that the Bible says about God, they never apply to the devil. The devil's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's not almighty. He's none of those things. The devil can't even read your mind. He has to read your body language. And friend, we need to take strength and power and authority over the devil. You need to reassess the power of the devil. I know some people think, well, he's just a powerful force and he has a tremendous personality. But Isaiah in chapter 14, verse 16 said, on that day we shall see thee, shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? I've said it a long time. The devil's living on a credit card. He doesn't own anything, and it's your credit card. You talk about identity theft. He is the originator of it. He assumes your identity because he has no substance. Everything that the devil has was taken away from him when Christ defeated him. The Bible teaches us that the devil is just a tired, old, homeless devil looking for a place. The Bible said in Luke chapter 11, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. He's very tired. And finding none, he saith, I will return into my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth empty, swept, and garnished. Goeth he and taketh himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. You think we don't need to develop a strategy? Because once the devil is cast out of you, doesn't mean that he's going to stay away. You've got to have a strategy to overcome him every day. You have to realize the devil is the first disgruntled employee. He worked for God. He failed, and so God threw him out. And so this is a story of a man that got emptied out, but he didn't get filled up. And when he was emptied out and not filled up, the devil came back. Friend, if you want to resist the devil, you've got to get filled. Get filled with God's word. Get filled with God's spirit. Get filled with God's joy. Get filled with God's peace. Get filled with God's power. Get filled with God's authority. And when the devil comes back in, he'll just throw up his hands. And the Bible said you resist him and he'll run off from you. We have the authority to literally overcome the devil. Next, don't give the devil a place. Don't give him a home. The Bible said, neither give place to the devil. So many people give the devil a place in their house, in their heart, in their life, by the companionship that they keep, by the entertainment they indulge, by what they persist in, they allow the devil to have a place. He might not be in them, but he's sure living next door. He's living too close. Friend, if you will resist the devil and the fact that you become a praiser, you become a person that is filled with the word of God, the devil won't even want to be around you. There's a reason why the devil likes to be around certain people. The Bible calls it a familiar spirit. He's familiar with the things they do. He's familiar with their conversation. He's familiar with their actions. But friend, if you become the new creature that Christ said we would become in him, the devil's not familiar. He's very unfamiliar. He feels very unwelcome. He feels very strange and very ill at ease, and he will flee from you. He'll go find somebody else. Friend, if you become a praiser, the devil will not want to be around you. There's nothing that makes people more mad than bragging on somebody they hate. Well, the devil hates Jesus Christ. The Bible said, acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. If you develop a spiritual habit of bragging on Jesus, David did it 7 times a day, he praised God. If you develop a habit of bragging on Jesus, not only to people that you're around, but just even in your own prayer and your own praise and your own self-reflection and conversation, I can promise you the devil will not want to be around you. And you say, well, I don't care if the devil's close as long as he's not there. Friend, I'm going to tell you, he'll ruin the neighborhood. He'll ruin your lawn. He'll ruin your house. He'll ruin everything. You want to get the devil as far away from you as is possible. So give the devil no place. Here's something else that we need to do, and that's laugh at the devil. Laugh at the devil. Kenneth Hagin Sr., Pop Hagin, said that one time he was a great faith healer. God used him so much supernaturally around this world. He was an amazing, amazing man. And the Lord used him greatly. But he had great attacks on his body physically. He was delivered and healed from tuberculosis as a teenage boy. And that's how he was called into the ministry. But every few years, the devil would come back with a great physical attack. And he said it was usually involving his respiratory system and his lungs. And he said laying there on his bed, he knew the devil was back. It felt like an elephant was sitting on his chest. And he said, I didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, he said, it just dawned on me. I began to laugh at the devil. He said, I laughed and I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. And he said, it wasn't easy. I had to fake it at first. I read somewhere in a medical report that the body is healed by laughter. The Bible teaches us that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Certain hospitals have literally what they call a laugh room or a joy room where people go in and think good thoughts and laugh, and it helps them physically. I heard about a young man that had a disease and the doctor tried everything, and he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to ask you to do. He said, young man, I want you to begin to laugh about 12 times a day. Just have big old belly laughs and begin to laugh. And he said, even if you don't feel like it, you just act like you're laughing. Ha, 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 ha. Because medical science has proven that your physical body cannot distinguish between a real laugh and a fake laugh. It does the same thing in your body. So we need to laugh at the devil. And so Kenneth Hagin said, I laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed at the devil. And he said, as I laughed, I found out that he began to want to move away from me because he knew I was laughing at him. The Bible said, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Be dismissive of the devil. Some of those old people that I was raised around, they talk more about the devil than they did the Lord. Even their testimonies, they talk about, well, the devil's been after me all day. The devil's been doing this. The devil's been doing that. Friend, the devil is not a primetime player. You need to get him out of your vocabulary and get him out of your thoughts. Whatever things are lovely, think on these. I found out that what you think about and what you speak about is what comes to pass. I can tell you that preachers that preach about sin all the time have more sin in their church than preachers that never mention it, but they preach on the righteousness of God. You need to think about the righteousness of God. Don't think about the problem. Think about the solution. You need to hold the devil in derision. You need to be dismissive of him. There's nothing more than just being dismissive, just not even acknowledge that they're there. Somebody walks up, you want to hurt their feelings, don't insult them, just ignore them. That's what you need to do with the devil. Just laugh at him and dismiss him because he's not a real factor in your life. If you're truly born again and filled with God's Spirit, if you have praise in your innermost being, if you have joy in your heart, the devil's not a real factor in your life, and you can literally cause him to flee by praising God, by meditating on good things, meditating on the Word of God. Next, you need to attack him with the written Word. That's the reason why it's so important that your preacher should not know more Scripture than you do. I'm always amazed when I get around people that know a lot of Scripture. Mark Hankins, as many of you don't know Mark, but Mark's a great preacher, and he's preached for us years ago, and I've preached for him, and he pastors in Alexandria, Louisiana, and he does a lot of Kenneth Copeland's meetings and a lot of the great meetings, and he is so full of the Word of God. When you're around him, you just quote one Scripture after another, and you can feel the victory just flowing out of him. Walter Hallam is another guy that is so full of the Word of God. Friend, you need to study the Word of God. You need to get the Word of God in your inward parts. David said, I'll hide the Word of God in my heart that I will not sin against God. You need to commit them to memory because the devil's going to come in like a flood. But if you've got a verse, if you've got a Scripture that applies to that situation, I can promise you he will not stay around. The devil hates the name of Jesus. The devil hates the Word of God. The devil hates praise. If you'll get these things in your life, you're going to find out the evilness that surrounds a lot of people won't be a factor in your life. You'll rise up above that. When Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, he was tempted of the devil. And the devil came in and he said, if thou be the Son of God. You know, the devil's always doing that. He's always putting an if on your salvation. An if on your spirituality, an if on your identity, if you're the Son of God, if you're saved, if you're victorious, if you're healed. The devil is the biggest if user in the world. But praise God, when you've got an absolute knowledge of the Word of God, you're not dealing in ifs, you're not dealing in suggestions, but you're dealing in the absolute. The Word of God is absolute. It does not change. And when he said, if thou be the Son of God, it wasn't an argument. Jesus could have went into an argument with him, but he didn't do that. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. When he wanted him to turn the stones into bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Friend, if you become a real expert with the Word of God, you can carve the devil up. He will be bleeding and dying and hurting, and he'll flee from you. And what the devil came to steal will not only be in your possession, but it will multiply in the name of Jesus Christ. So the devil makes another run at Jesus Christ, and he took him up to the holy city, put him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, if thou be the Son of God. Friend, that's the question. Are you the Son of God? Did you realize when you got born again that you went through a radical change? A person that is truly born again has gone through a radical change. The Bible calls it transformed. The Bible calls it regeneration. The Bible calls it a new creature. You ought to realize that there's not many people on your job like you. You're a son of the living God. And the devil's going to make a little run at you every once in a while with a big if. If you're the Son of God, cast yourself down from this pinnacle, because it is written. The devil even tried to distort the word of God. He said, because the angels will save you. He said, oh, but you don't understand. I am the literal word of God. You ought to get so much word inside of you. He said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Cast thyself down. Jesus said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He was the Word of God, and so he could quote the Word of God without any reverence, without any hesitancy at all. Friend, we need to get the Word of God. The Bible said, take no thought of what you're going to say, for at that moment the Holy Ghost will give you the words and say it for you. But if you don't put it in, it can't come out. That's the reason why you need to study the Word of God. For every sickness the devil's going to come against you, there is a verse that you can use. For every attempt to bring you to poverty, there is a verse that you can use against that poverty. For every temptation, there is a verse that you can use against that. And friend, you will overcome. I have a strategy against the devil, and it works, praise God. It's put joy in my heart. It's put the Holy Spirit in my soul. It's put the power of God in my life. It put clothes on my back. It puts food on my table. It puts money in my pocket. It causes me to have victory when I should be defeated, joy when I should be sad. Becky and I were laughing yesterday about all the things that have gone wrong in the last 6 months in our life, one right after another, from physical attacks, but praise God, not one of them have availed to anything. They've all come to naught, because we have a strategy against the devil. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. You are an overcomer. You are a victor in Jesus' name. And finally, the devil takes him to an exceeding high mountain, and he said, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you'll just worship. But the Bible said that Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve. Get thee behind me, Satan, because he knew the word of God. My strategy is to be so proficient in the word of God that when the devil comes in like a flood, the standard that God will raise is his holy word that will embarrass him so greatly that he won't want to try to match wits with the word of God. The devil will try to match wits with you. But friend, if you're filled with the word of God, he will start avoiding you and go find an easier target. The next strategy I have is, when the devil comes against me, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 11 said this, But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said life is in the blood. You are saved by one thing, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. When that blood came out of his side, it was the birth of the church of the living God. We are washed in the blood. It's an old song, but still a true song. It's nothing but the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot be saved outside of the blood of Jesus. And so when the devil comes against me, I begin to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I say, Jesus died for me. Jesus shed his blood for me. Jesus was buried for me. Jesus was resurrected for me. He took the hyssop of his love and put the blood of Jesus on the doorpost of my heart. And he also put it on the tabernacle in heaven. And praise God, because of his blood, I am free from sin. I'm free from accusation. I'm free from death. I'm free from the attack of the devil, because I am washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Friend, you need to realize that the devil is an old, tired warrior, but he's still fighting. And the Bible said in Revelation 12 that he knows his time is short, so he's coming down with all of his wrath. Well, friend, you need to get some strategy and say, let me tell you what I'm going to do about the devil. I'm going to use the Word of God against him. I'm going to use the blood of Jesus against him. The weapons I have, praise God, are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And not one devil, not one weapon the devil can create is going to be prosperous toward me, because I am an overcomer. I've overcome the devil, not through my flesh and blood. I come to you not with the power and with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but the power and demonstration of the Spirit of the living God. I'm a warrior. I get up every day. I'm not a pacifist, praise God. I'm an aggressor. Every day I get up and chase the devil down the road, speaking the name that is above every name, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, quoting the Word of God, and whatever the devil has, he has to turn it loose in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You need to reverse the accusation. The Bible tells us that the devil comes as an accuser of the brethren. And he's always trying to accuse you. But when the devil tries to bring up your past, you need to remind him of his past. There was a war in heaven, the Bible said. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. And that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. When the devil tries to bring up your past, you need to go to that passage and say, devil, you lost your house. You don't even have a job. Your house was repossessed. You don't have a place. You don't have a name. You don't have authority. Friend, you simply are a loser. And when the devil tries to come against you, you need to talk to him about his future. The Bible said, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Remind the devil of his future. He is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And then remind him of your future. Jesus said, come and go with me to my Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. While the devil is living in hell, I'm going to be living in a mansion. And I need to bring up his past and remind him of his future. And then remind him of what the Lord has done for me. I'm not what I used to be, because now I am transformed into the image of his dear Son. I've been born again. I'm not the same man I was. Praise God. The Lord has blotted out my transgression, erased my sin, called me a son in whom he is well pleased. And devil, that's my strategy. I am something because of God. I'm living in him. I'm having joy in him. I have power in him. I'm clothed in his righteousness, empowered with his Spirit, begotten by his blood, filled with his Holy Ghost. Devil, that's my strategy. I've got a superior role over you. I have, I will have, and I will be in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And finally, you need to declare your stature in Christ. The Bible said in Exodus 1:9, abortion is a terrible thing. It starts in Exodus, where they were aborting, trying to abort the babies of the Hebrews. And it's always been there to kill the babies. And it's a spirit of this age. But the Bible said that when they came to Pharaoh and explained why they couldn't perform the abortions successfully, they said, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come into them. Before we can kill them, they're alive. Friend, you need to remind the devil that you're not an Egyptian, you're not a Gentile, you're not a heathen, you are the children of the living God, a royal priesthood, hallelujah, you're something. And the Bible said we are lively stones. The devil hates death, and that's the reason why he wants you to be alive. He wants you to be alive in his spirit, alive in his joy, alive in his happiness, alive in his hope. You ought to get up every day and say, thank God for the gift of life. Thank God for who I am. Thank God that I'm an eternal creation. Just as Jesus Christ has no end because he came into me, I have no end. I'm going to live forever and ever and ever and ever. He's a God of the living and not the dead. And you need to remind the devil, I'm not as the Egyptians. I'm a living apostle, a lively stone. I'm full of the Holy Ghost, full of joy. You can't destroy my confidence. You can't take away my joy. You can't dispel my happiness. That's the reason why I go to a church like this. I'm not dead. I like to sing. I like to dance. I like to clap. I like to shout. I like to praise. I like to laugh. I like to smile. I like to move. Oh, devil, I am something. I'm not an Egyptian. I'm a new creature in God. It doth not yet appear what I shall be, but I'm getting better every day, because every day I'm more like him. And praise God, one of these days I'm going to be exactly like him. And so, devil, just watch me while I praise. Just watch me while I shout. Just watch me while I glorify the Lord. Just watch me while I celebrate. Just watch me while I declare the goodness of God in my life. Just watch me as I declare that I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm an overcomer and never am I overcome. I am above all. Devil, whatever you are going to do, it's going to fail. I'm a winner because Jesus Christ is a winner. He has got the victory over death, hell, the grave, and sin, and he has given it to me, and I'm here today to praise God and tell God, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. John 10 and 10 might be the best verse in the whole Bible. It encapsulates what life and the gospel is about. That the devil is a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ came to give us life and it more abundantly. The devil's trying to steal from you. And friend, if you don't have a strategy, if you're not on the offense, I can tell you the devil is stealing from you every day. Stealing from you every day. It's a tremendous advantage and a tremendous feeling when you realize that you've got strength over the thief in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I can make the devil give up. I can make the devil surrender. I can make the devil ask permission just like he did of Jesus, because I've got the tools and the strategy to do that. Praise God. You've heard me tell about when we were building the building next door. We lived in Windcrest, and I said to Becky, I said, Becky, we were sitting there late one evening, maybe 11, 12 o'clock, and I said, I just feel like we need to go to the church. And we were building the building, and it wasn't finished. It was kind of dried in, but you could still slip in between some of the two-by-fours. All the doors were not up, and all the walls were not up. And when we drove up, I looked in, and I could see a man. And this was the extension we built on this side. I could see a man coming out of what was my office then. And he was coming out of the window, and he just had his arms full of stuff. And I told Becky, we had a phone in our car. Didn't have cell phones then. We had a phone in our car. And I said, Becky, call the police. She was sitting there in that 70-some town car. I was thinking about a 1978 town car. I said, call the police. And when he saw me, he took off running through that building around the back of the building. I picked up a 2x4 about 4 foot long, and I chased him. I chased him over where we are right now to this property. This was all in weeds back then. And finally, I hollered at him, stop or I'm going to shoot. I'd thrown the 2x4 away by now. I decided I didn't need that. And I said, stop or I'm going to shoot. And so I said, put your hands up. When he did, he threw everything he had. It was a credit card. He had a bunch of credit cards that he got on my desk. He had all of that. When he turned around, I was doing this. He said, sir, you don't have a gun. It didn't dawn on me I didn't have a gun. I'd seen too many cop shows. I was pointing my fingers at him. Said, sir, you don't have a gun. But what I had was the authority of Jesus Christ. I said, pick up all that stuff. He picked it all up. He was younger than I was, big old white boy, about 6'4". And I said, bring that stuff to me. He brought it over to me. I said, what are you doing breaking into a church? He said, I hitchhiked from Corpus Christi. He said, it's taken me days. Nobody picked me up. I walked every step of the way. He said, I'm starving nearly to death. And I said, you're hungry? He said, yeah. I said, well, come over here. And I went back to the car. I said, Becky, did you call the police? You talk about confidence. Just made me. She said, no, I figured you could handle it. I told that guy, I said, get in the car. He got in the car. We drove up here at O'Connor. It used to be a truck stop there. Had a little restaurant in it. I said, let's go in here and eat. So we got in there. Before we went in, though, I asked him, I said, are you a Christian? He said, no, sir, I never have been. He said, I always wanted to be. And I led him to the Lord right there in that car. Come to find out, he was from Louisville, Kentucky, and his father was a policeman in Louisville, Kentucky. I fed him. I had a guy working for me named Brother Joe, and Brother Joe was an older guy, single guy, and he had a nice apartment the church was providing for him because he worked for us. And I called Joe, and I said, Joe, you got room for somebody to stay with you for a while? Yeah, I sent him on down. So I took him down there. And the next day, I hired him as a janitor. He worked for me for months. He got baptized, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and finally I was able to put him back on a bus and send him back to his family in Louisville, Kentucky. But the point is, the devil thought he was going to rob me that night. The Holy Ghost just told me to come down here. Then the Holy Ghost gave me authority over somebody that looked bigger and stronger than me, younger than me. And what was supposed to be so evil turned out to be good. I led him to the Lord. He got filled with the Holy Spirit and became an employee for several months around the church here. Friend, I'm going to tell you, you need to get a strategy against the devil. Because the devil's got an evil plan for you yet today or Monday. But if you will develop the strategy of the Lord, what the devil means for evil, the Lord's going to turn into one of the biggest blessings in your life. He's going to turn it around. Would you stand on your feet right now and give God some praise in this house? I want you just to take just a moment and just reflect on what.